The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast today. And our special guest is Timothy Mahoney. And he has got out a new documentary called Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, thank you for having me, Ed.
We talk a little bit off the air. This is not your first go-around with a documentary. And so let's talk about the first one just briefly before we get into the Moses controversy.
Yes, I worked on a film, believe it or not, Ed, for 12 years. And that eventually became Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. And that film uncovered evidence for the story of the Israelites coming into Egypt, and then the story of Joseph and his family, and we found evidence for that, and we moved then forward through their enslavement and the exodus out of Egypt and the conquest of the Promised Land. So we're looking for patterns of evidence that match the biblical story, and that's what that first film did. And then that led me to really taking the next step in the story of the Bible, which would be to talk about the journey out of Egypt across the sea and then to Mount Sinai. But before I did that, I realized that I needed to know if the scriptures wasn't an eyewitness account, because the Bible communicates that Moses wrote these books, but today a lot of mainstream scholars are saying that Moses didn't write the first books of the Bible. And so that became a topic that I felt we needed to address first, and that's why we call it the Moses controversy. The Bible says Moses wrote, mainstream scholars say he didn't. That is the controversy.
Now, as I watched the beginning of the documentary and got some background, it was almost shocking to me, and I don't know why it just kind of took me aback the way it did, that the experts, and you know, go into detail with three different experts of people that you would probably want to be on the side of Moses writing those five books, but they're pretty adamant that he didn't.
That's right.
And go into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, there are three experts that, one's archaeological, one's Egyptology, and the other one's more biblical. And all three of those men were raised in Christian homes. And as they went off to school and continued to investigate and learn, they ended up moving away from the fact that Moses could have written the Bible. In fact, they even moved away from, let's say, faith in Christianity. And they're what we would call agnostics, people with big questions. I could see a parallel between, you know, why they were looking at these different things. When you step back after you film some interviews, you go, wow, all of these men are telling me that there's no evidence for this. And not only that, but they've kind of walked away from being believers, the way their family was, a believer. And that raises the concern for me. Would I lose my own faith if I go on this investigation? Would I be persuaded like they were? But that's the risk, you know, some people say, that you could be taking making a film like this. But the good news is that I found answers for the questions that they had. And they're not just answers, but they're powerful, powerful ideas that reveal that the things that some people are saying, I don't think hold up against the Bible. And that's why I think this film, The Moses Controversy, is very important to see and very important for young people to understand that when there are attacks against the Bible, there are answers that are very, very powerful.
It almost seems like after talking with those three, it would have been easy to give up on the project because with their beliefs, it obviously made your job way more difficult.
Yeah, you're right. You could sense that, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that, yes, there have been times when, you know, it seems like I should give up or I should quit or whatever. But fortunately, we've been able to continue on. And then, you know, let's say, as I'm making the films, will uncover something that will be so profound. And this film uncovers a lot of information that people have never heard before. And it really is the fact that writing and reading are so important that I believe that I think there's a divine component into the fact that we have an alphabet. And that's what I'm sharing with this, because we have to, we started to look for in this pattern, was there a writing system that Moses could have used that he could have written the first books of the Bible? But it's not just that he could use it to write, but that it would be something that people could read. Because that's exactly what the Bible says wasn't supposed to happen, that Moses was supposed to write these commands and then give them to the people, and they were supposed to write those commands on their doorpost and teach them to their children. So, you know, what this means, Ed, is that there was literacy, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And this also flies completely against what many people say would have happened, that the Israelites were not necessarily literate and they wouldn't be able to read, and that they were just slaves.
Talk for a second about the process that you used for searching out the evidence. I seen... in a cave and looking through a cave. Tell me all the different processes that you used.
Well, one of the things that the process is really, who should we talk to? So you know, when you're going to work on a film, you have to think about, is there new information that people are coming up with that would help us to uncover this question? And so the question is, could Moses have written the first books of the Bible? What I would tell you is that the scholars would say, if he did write, he wouldn't have had anything to write with except maybe Egyptian, or some other language like cuneiform. There's two major writing systems. But so that was the first thing that we were looking for. And then you have to say, well, who knows a lot about writing? You know, who knows about Egyptian writing? Who knows about the early forms of writing? And then that then would, for research, we have research going on all the time. I have, you know, two people researching almost every day for information and where we find the right people to film. And then I make a decision to travel to those locations and interview those people. And then we have to make a decision, can we go to the places in the Middle East, in Israel or Egypt? Can we get the photography? Can I get there personally? In some places, because of terrorism, it's not easy to get to anymore. So I have to look for photography to get that. But the cave that you're talking about is in the Sinai Peninsula. And this is where one of the very first inscriptions were found. And there's a man by the name of Sir Flinders Petrie. He and his wife Hilda, back in, I think, 1905, found this writing on a wall. And they recognized that it wasn't Egyptian, but that somebody had taken Egyptian hieroglyphs and had modified their usage. And then there was the kind of like the Sherlock Holmes part of it was, who can read this writing? What is this? And the unique connection is that it became what they call proto-Sinaitic. Proto meaning first, Sinaitic meaning from the Sinai. The first writing from the Sinai, and it actually then was seen as an alphabet. The very first alphabet ever to appear.
Wow. That in itself is shocking, but there's more shocking things that you discovered throughout your search. Share a little bit of that with us.
Right. Well, this alphabet then starts to appear in other places. They start to notice it in other areas where there were these inscriptions. And this alphabet shows up at a particular time in history. And I mentioned to you that we made a film called Patterns of Evidence of the Exodus. And it shows that we really believe that the Israelites came in to Egypt around 1800 B.C. And this is a particular time in history when they see Semitic-type people coming in to an area called Avaris. And Avaris is a city built underneath the city of Ramesses. So it's before the city of Ramesses. That's very important. So it's exactly the right place, but it's earlier in history. And the two films that I have worked on here, the Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, and the Moses Controversy, all acknowledge the fact that we think that the Israelites were earlier than when most scholars would put them there. And so what we find is that these inscriptions that are, that we're seeing, they can relate them to at that time in history because there's a pharaoh that they have also with his name right next to those inscriptions. Mm-hmm. And that puts it in a narrow window. So the film is basically showing you that it's very possible that Joseph and his family are responsible for this new form of writing, which becomes the basis of all alphabets around the world.
Wow. That almost makes you speechless when you think how enormous that statement is, the basis for all alphabets around the world.
Absolutely, Ed. I mean, I was so excited about this. I mean, I could hardly, when I started to think about the possibility, what does this mean? And if you look at the scripture, all I can tell you is that there are, it says, this is the Word of God. And in order for you to have the Word of God, you have to have a way that universally people could understand it. Now, they had other writing systems, but they were terribly inefficient. The basis of the alphabet is 4,000 years old, and it's the foundation, as we said, of all alphabets. And if you understand that you're supposed to write these things down and transfer this information, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to, in fact, in Romans, it says, to retain the knowledge of God. And you're supposed to transfer this information to other people. And so Moses commanded them to teach this to your children. Write this on your doorpost. Write these commands on your doorpost and teach them to your children. So what a lot of people would say is, well, the Israelites were illiterate. Well, the Bible says they weren't. The Bible says they were to write the commands on their doorpost and teach them to their children. So there had to be something simple enough that the Israelites would basically be able to use it. And with only, let's say, I think at that time there was 22 letters. We have 26 letters in the alphabet. It would be simple for them to learn this system. And we show in the film that to learn hieroglyphics, it would probably have taken, up to 1,000, memorization of 1,000 letters or more. And so this very simple idea that we all take for granted was given at that time.
We don't really have time to explore this thought much, but when you think about the first five books of the Bible and you sit down and go to read that, it's not something you do in 15 minutes or an hour. It's some considerable amount of reading, and that one person penned all of that in the midst of all that he did as a human being, leading the Exodus, being the leader of this nation of people. That's a daunting task that he took under.
Yeah, and if we think about the fact that he was trained, I did an interview, which we'll hear from in the future, but Moses was trained in a number of things before he left Egypt, and he would have understood, too, how to write treaties and how to write agreements. And what I've been told from other scholars now, biblical scholars, is that the reason why they have, the lineage, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, is because this is an amazing story. It's actually a legal contract. Mm. The Bible is, the first five books, it's a contract showing who God made agreements with. Mm. And that's why it's talking about these different lineages through, all the way from Abraham, all the way to David, all the way to the Messiah. This lineage. And the there are laws in there, there are promises, there are covenants, and it's the story of God acting in history. In order to record that story and not have it change, because as you saw in the film, many people would say, well, the Bible was just like the telephone game. Someone told a story, and then they changed it a little bit, and then it got bigger and bigger, and they added more miracles to make the campfire story more interesting. And what the Bible is communicated, that it didn't change. That when Moses was told to write things, he wrote it down, and it was communicated exactly, very precisely throughout history.
Finally, I want to ask the three experts that had the disagreeing opinions with our version, have they seen the results of your work?
No, but they're going to.
Okay.
And do you think I was fair?
Oh, I think you were more than fair. You didn't just make a story up. You went and you investigated. I don't know how more. You had to have invested a lot of money to come up with this. It doesn't come cheaply to travel the world as you did. And I believe you were more than fair.
Yeah, we really try hard. That the reason why it's important, because you have more freedom to make a decision when you hear different sides, different points of view. And I would share this with your audience. If you've got family members, I think everybody should see the Moses controversy. And I'm saying that because it's profound in what it means to when you look at your Bible. If you start to understand how significant it is that you're able to read it, the technological advance of an alphabet and what it means to communicate that we understand what it says directly from the authors. You know, that this means that from the hand of Moses, inspired by God, you're going to hear what God told Moses, and you have that because you have the ability to read. And what we're going to suggest here is that I think that this ability to read is more than just natural, as we say, something evolving. But it's something that once the idea came, it stuck, and it hasn't changed very much at all. In fact, the very letters that you see, the letter A that we see that came from 4,000 years ago, if you flip it upside down, is the symbol of an Egyptian bullhead. It's the Aleph. And it hasn't hardly changed much. You know, it's rotated. And you'll see these rotations. You'll see how the language shifted over time. And so I would say that we have a great gift. And what does it say in John? It says, in the beginning was the Word, right?
Word, yes.
Yeah, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, so I think it's important that we understand that these words are important and that the Bible is significantly important, and that in order to know it, you have to basically know how to read it. That's why literacy is so important. I think at the core of it, it's really about knowing who God is.
That's right. You're going to be in theaters here in March. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us about where we can find social media and information that we can look up on our own.
Okay. Well, we're going to be in theaters. If you go to Patterns of Evidence, patternsofevidence.com, you can go to our website, and then you can click on the different places where it'll take you to the Moses trailer, as well as how to buy tickets. And when you go to buy tickets, it'll take you to another landing page, which will show you up at the top, there'll be a place where it can say we're on March 14th, 16th, and 19th. And March 14th, 16th, and 19th. That's a Thursday night, a Saturday matinee, and a Tuesday night. We will have actually, the film will have a pre-show, and then the film will be showing. There'll be an intermission. It's quite an event. It's going to be a several hour event. And then there's a panel discussion after the movie. And that panel discussion is going to have Oz Guinness, the social critic, Michael Medved, Pastor A.R. Bernard, and Ted Starnes from Fox Radio is going to be the moderator. and it's going to be very engaging, added value at the end of the showing, talking about what does this mean. So Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy is the film, and it'll inspire your faith, it'll affirm, and if you have family members that are kind of not really sure if the Bible's true, this would be a fantastic film to bring them to. And we actually can also bring groups. If you want to get a special discount on tickets, there's a group purchase group tickets that you can get 10 or more people to come to get a discount. So once again, patternsofevidence.com, March 14th, 16th, and 19th.
So excited to share this interview with our listeners. Let's end in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and this new friend. We thank you for his dedication and the hard work, that his desire to show that you are the author and that you work through Moses in these first five books. Thank you for not just his desire, but his drive to go and continue when other people gave him a negative outlook, and that his perseverance was there to continue to find the truth. It's just such a warm and touching, not just story. We've had the story, but the evidence that is there. Father, we sometimes look at controversy as a negative, but in this controversy, the truth came through, and we know that where there is truth, there you are. Thank you for the friendship that we've made here. We pray for the success of the showings. We just look forward to what this brings and future endeavors for Tim as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we look forward to being able to continue to share this. We didn't get a chance to ask you what you got going on past this, but we'll try to keep track.
Well, the next film is called The Red Sea Crossing. The Red Sea Miracle, I'm sorry. Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle.
Oh, that just sounds amazing just in the title.
Well, we're working on it. I think it's going to be very, very good. More Patterns of Evidence to uncover.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
And thank you.
God bless.